And now, Virgin Most Powerful Radio is pleased to present Hands-On Apologetics with renowned Catholic author and apologist, Gary Matuta.
Welcome to Hands-On Apologetics. You have just entered into the apologetics zone. Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo. I'm Gary Matuta, your host and sensei. And welcome aboard, everybody. It's great to be with you today. Got a lot on our docket today. And lots of fun. Lots of fun stuff. You know, here on Hands-On Apologetics, we dive into how to explain the faith with clarity, charity, and confidence. And I know a lot of people who watch or listen to this broadcast, they might not ever really engage in apologetics, but they just like learning about the faith. They like hearing about, you know, the give and take of dialogues and things like that. But really, it's kind of like those of us who watch, you know, home improvement shows or, you know, fishing shows or whatever. It's not like we'd actually engage in that stuff, but it is kind of fun to see how, you know, the deadliest catch, how they catch crabs and things like that. you know, so I think there's a lot of listeners and viewers there kind of like that, that, man, I'll never really use this stuff, but it's good to know. You know, it's fun to listen to. Well, that's not necessarily true, folks, because we're all called to be able to give a reason for the hope that's in us. God will send people to your lives where you can use this. And sometimes God may even call us to be evangelist. And you don't need to have a course in apologetics to be an evangelist. You don't need to have all the answers. In fact, evangelism, missionary work, can be really simple and very easy to do. And so I'm thrilled because there's this great book out there. It's called The Missionary of Wall Street by Stephen Auth. He's going to be our guest today. And he is a, you know, he's a, works in a major financial institution there in New York, and yet he's a faithful Catholic who goes and stands on street corners, calls people to, former Catholics mostly, to come and, if they haven't availed them of the sacrament of confession, to do so. So he's out there. He's on the streets, and you could be on the streets as well. And so I'm looking forward. We're going to talk with Steve Auth about his work in New York, about evangelism, and, you know, about taking away the fear of, you know, being out there and calling people, inviting them to the faith, inviting them back to the faith. That you shouldn't be scared, and it's really quite simple. So we're going to have Steve Auth jump onto the show, the dojo mat, if you will, and give us the lowdown about what's going on in New York Wall Street area. We're also going to sharpen our critical thinking skills with the finding of fallacy, which today is the gambler's fallacy. And we're also going to meet the early church father, Caius or Gaius, the presbyter of Rome. So lots in store for you today. It's going to be a fun broadcast. And I hope you enjoy our guests because, like I said, Steve's really, he boiled it down to some very simple steps that anybody can do. And that includes you and me. Even I can do it. So if I could do it, you certainly can do it. So, you know, after the first break, Steve's going to come on the show. If you want to join in the conversation, you could give us a call at 888-526-2151. That's 888-526-2151. And it's your input's always appreciated. Or perhaps if you want to shoot us an email and share with us. Maybe you have a question about the faith. Maybe you're not sure. Somebody asked you posed an objection against the faith, and you're not quite sure how to answer it. Love to hear from you. I try to help you any way I can. And if I only have the answers, I can point you to resources that do. And so you're asking, well, how do I do that? Well, you just email us at questions@handsonapologetics.com. Questions@handsonapologetics.com. That's Hands-On Apologetics is all one word. And that goes directly into the dojo mailbox, which I do read and respond to and even bring on the air. So good stuff there. Let's see. Let's do our shout-out, shall we? I'd like to say hello to everybody watching live stream on social media, which includes Facebook and YouTube. Hello, everybody. Ah, Beth, another beautiful explosion of emojis. Appreciate it. It's good to see familiar names there. And, of course, I don't see the feed, or I don't even know if there is a feed for Facebook, but hello, everybody on Facebook. There is a corner in the dojo for you as well. It's just a sense I can't really see you. And welcome everybody listening via radio, through Catholic Radio, or just your neighborhood radio station. Love to have you on board as well. And for those who want to access all the great programs that we have here on Hands-On Apologetics, or any of the other great programs Virgin Most Powerful produces, go to our website, folks, to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, and select shows, and you can select Hands-On Apologetics, and boom, all the shows are available. Podcast form, you can share them, you can download them, you can download it into your phone so you can listen to it in the car or while you're working out, or however you maintain your media devices. So welcome and thank you for listening to us through those means. Now, it's time to jump to the finding of the fallacy. Finding a fallacy for today is called the gambler's fallacy. Gambler's fallacy is also known as the Monte Carlo fallacy or the fallacy of the maturity of chances. Interesting gambling analogy. So what is it? Well, it's the mistaken belief that if something happens more frequently than normal during a period, it will happen less frequently in the future. Okay, so it's the mistaken idea that, I roll a six-sided dice, it comes up six. I roll it again, it comes up six. And then I think, well, me rolling it three times will be astronomical. And I roll it, and it comes up six. You know, that's the fallacy, that because it happened in the frequently in the past, that it's unlikely to happen in the future. The funny thing is, folks, is that when you roll a dice, a six-sided die, you have a 1 in 6 chance of hitting that number. Now, that doesn't change. So it's a 1 in 6 chance on your first roll, a 1 in 6 chance on your second roll, and a 1 in 6 chance on your third roll. It doesn't become less likely that you will roll that number. It's still the same odds. And the fallacy is that it believes that if you do it, happens more than once, that somehow it'll be less frequent. But that's not true. Now, if you look at it from the other perspective of, okay, rolling six times, that would be difficult. But that's because you're taking the whole thing together. You're not just looking at individual rolls. Okay, so now that I've lost everybody in the audience with that explanation, that is fine, because the gambler's fallacy, in my opinion, I don't think it really happens in apologetics. At least, you know, thinking in the past, I can't remember ever stumbling across the gambler's fallacy. But nevertheless, it's good to keep in mind, because you never know where. Many times these fallacies, you don't see the exact example, but you see a similar example going on in a completely different context. So it's good to know these fallacies, even if it might not, you know, be like the rolling six three times type deal. So anyway, good to know, and we can file our way in our Finding the Fallacy series. All right, folks, let's see. Shall we jump to the Meet the Early Church Fathers? Yes, I believe we shall. Our early church father today is a rather obscure father. His name is Caius, C-A-I-U-S, or sometimes it's with a G, Gaius. And he's known as Gaius, Presbyter of Rome. He flourished sometime around AD 198 to 217. We're not really sure the exact dates. And the reason for that is little or nothing is known about Caius or Gaius, other than he's a presbyter within the Roman Church. Beyond that, all we have is a fragment that was preserved by the church historian Eusebius in his church history. And in that fragment, as I'll read in a couple seconds, he mentions that he lived during the pontificate of Pope Zephyrinus, who reigned between 198 and 217 AD. And he also wrote a dispute with a person named Proculus, who was a Montanist. That's pretty much it. There are some fragments that in Hippolytus that they believe was from Gaius, but that's neither here nor there. It doesn't seem to be authentic. So that's pretty much all we have about this early church father. He is a presbyter or priest in Rome, the Church of Rome, and he lived during the reign of Pope Zephyrinus, which is 198 to 217. And he wrote this treatise against, like I said, this guy named Proclus. Now, Proclus was a Montanist. So let me explain what Montanism is very quickly. It was a kind of Pentecostal group, I guess you could say. They believed that they believed public revelation was still being handed out through their own prophets and prophetesses. So it kind of had a veneer of Catholicity. It was kind of Catholic, and yet it was very un-Catholic. And this was a popular group in Phrygia, and also you might be familiar with the Montanists because the early church father, Tertullian, kind of got seduced by this group's teaching. Let's see. Okay, let's jump to his quote. And this is interesting. Now, this is most of it's from Eusebius setting up the quote, and then there's just one line. It says, "It's recorded that Paul was beheaded in Rome itself, and Peter likewise, who was crucified during the reign of Nero. The account was confirmed that the names of Peter and Paul over the cemeteries there and remain till the present time." And then he goes on to quote from Caius, which he says, "I can point out the trophies of the apostles, for if you're willing to go to the Vatican or the Austrian Way, you'll find the trophies of those found in this church." So, stay tuned. More on the other side.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, "I want my husband to be on fire for the faith." Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody, Hands-On Apologetics. And while we're getting our guest on the phone, I should probably explain a little bit about that. Why is it important that we have this little abstract from Gaius the Presbyter of Rome? Well, first, he's very early on. He lived right around the turn of the 2nd century, the 3rd century. And most important, he says, he talks about how the trophies of the apostles, that is the tombs of the apostles, Peter and Paul, are there at the Vatican or at the in the Ostian Way, and you'll find the trophies of those who founded this church. So why is this important? Well, if you're familiar with apologetics in regards to the papacy, it's important because the apostles were commissioned by Christ to go preach throughout the world. And that there's 12 apostles in which he gave Peter a primacy. And the question is, well, who succeeded Peter in his ministry? Well, we have to find out where he dies. And that is why Gaius, the presbyter of Rome, is important, because it shows that, yes, Peter died in Rome. So his successor is the head of the church. Very good. All right, so we got our guest on. Let me introduce him. Steve Auth is a long career on Wall Street, first with Prudential Investments, and he's currently Executive Vice President and Chief Investment Officer of Federated Global Equities. He's a frequent guest on CNBC, Fox Business News, Bloomberg TV. So you may have saw him on many of these shows. He also has an undergraduate degree from Princeton University, and it graduated summa cum laude. And also he graduated with a degree from Harvard Business School. So welcome to Hands-On Apologetics, Steve Auth.
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, it's I have your book. Here, let me hold it up for the camera, A Missionary on Wall Street. And great book. Probably, what's the best way? I guess the best way to explain this is, you know, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I was born Catholic, as you would say, altar boy, all of that, working class neighborhood in one of the outer boroughs of New York City, the Jersey borough, Newark. Mm-hmm. Went off to Princeton, and by the time I got out of college, frankly, had pretty much lost my faith, Gary. I probably consider myself kind of agnostic. Married the girl of my dreams a few years after that, and as the kids came, she was a devout Catholic, and as the kids came along, I found my way back to the faith, at least at a point that the book starts, where I'm pretty much I'd call myself a lukewarm Catholic. You know, Sunday morning mass, the other 6.5 days were mine, and in my case, you know, the Lord sort of seems to have taken somewhat dramatic action. I had a near-fatal incident with my heart in 2002, and had the chance to have the sacrament of the anointing of the sick and my first confession in probably 30 years. And after that, the priest, Father John Connor, said to me, "Steve, you know, you're a guy who's been given a lot of talents, but you've been a poor steward of them. And you've been using them for yourself and not for the Lord, and you need to rethink that." And that led me to confirm that I needed to do more for him. And I promised I would answer the call, if you will. And not too long after that, helped co-found the Lumen Institute, which is an organization for Catholic businessmen to form them better in their faith. And then to take that to the world and, you know, make the world a better place through, you know, better use of Christian values. Right. This is a long story, but it really, the next stop is in 2009, where I get a phone call. It's in the middle of the financial crisis, end of another long day at work in Pittsburgh, in this case, settling into the hotel room. I get literally a phone call. And it's basically from the Lord, although it's through the person of my wife, who's been asked by the pastor at Old St. Pat's for the Regna Christi team in New York to come out into the streets to help find fallen away Catholics for his parish, because his parish is shrinking as the old Italian and Spanish population moves out and the young urbanites move in. And there we are, and the book starts there. I tell my wife, "Look, there's no way I'm going to do this. It doesn't make any sense. It'll never work. People will be cutting cigars out in our forehead. So I entered it very reluctantly, Gary. I'd like to say I entered it, I embraced the concept, but I didn't. I think many of us are fearful, and this seemed to me to be a particularly ridiculous proposition.
Yeah, and especially with your background, because, you know, the through the Lord's providence, you have this background in finance. And then when you felt the Lord calling you, I mean, it naturally you went to form the Lumen Group. But to stand out in the street and call people to church, that must have been a square peg round hole type moment.
Yeah, and for the first couple of years, Gary, I felt that way. And but we persevered. And what I learned is that the Lord doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
Yes.
And over time, I developed skills and maybe found some that I had from Wall Street that were useful. Only later did it become apparent why he might have chosen me for this. And, you know, here we are 11 years later. We've spoken to 3 million people on the streets in New York. We've had in-depth conversations with probably 250,000 former Catholics, brought maybe 10 or 15,000 of them back to the faith through the sacrament of confession. And as the book proceeds and it's organized, given your background, the subtitle of the book at one time was going to be, or my working subtitle was, A Layman's Guide to Street Apologetics. So it's a kind of street apologetics.
Yeah.
Not nearly as sophisticated as what you do, but, you know, how do you deal with people who say they have their own relationship with God, or they're too afraid to tell a priest, or they've got an unforgivable sin, or they follow a religion called atheism?
Yeah.
But something happened, and again, I think you might be able to relate to this story. It's kind of a long story, so cut me off, or maybe I'll just reference it if you want to talk about it. But
okay. We have about 3 minutes.
Okay, well, it's probably too long of a story, but it's something happened, and it's in the book probably midway through of me meeting with a man who had fallen away from the faith 40 years earlier, had concluded that the Catholic faith was completely made up in the Middle Ages, the Mass, the whole thing, the crazy ritual, and a series of very odd coincidences related to art at the Met and my, you know, what I know about that and this gentleman and where he was in his life start to emerge that just blows you away. And that was probably a big turning point for me in realizing, well, wait a minute here, the Lord has a plan and he's using me in a way that's very powerful. So I've just got to kind of throw myself into it. And, hence, you know, what's happened since.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about the, actually we have a little bit more time than I thought. Tell us a little bit more about like how the Lord, connected with this person.
Well, he's just walking down the street. He's from Canada. He's on his way to the airport. He'd been in New York cleaning up business, as he says. He passes my partner with a response, been there, done that. Our pickup line is, are you Catholic, by the way? Kind of very provocative question, which you can take at a lot of different levels.
Yes.
Been there, done that. I am just walking to my post as he comes across. So he bumps into me, and I pick up the conversation walking alongside of him at a high speed because he's in a hurry. We learn to go along with people. So anyway, I said, what do you mean, been there, done that? And he goes through the story about how he'd, you know, given up on the faith, it's all made up, et cetera. And I'm trying to stall for time and ask him, well, where else you've been in New York, you know? And he mentions he's been to the Met. See anything that you like? Supper to Emmaus. He says something to do with Emmaus. I goes, I thought it was interesting, but I really didn't understand what was going on. And bells go off in my head because the painting he had seen was the Supper to Emmaus by Diego Velazquez, painted during the Counter-Reformation in the early 1600s. And it was a painting developed by Velazquez to sort of substantiate the origins of the Catholic Mass that is given to us not just in the Gospel of the Lord's Supper, but in Luke's Gospel in the Supper to Emmaus. And the story everyone knows on your station, I'm sure, you know, the liturgy of the word being as Christ walks with these two discouraged disciples on their way out of Jerusalem on Easter day, he's doing the typology of Old Testament, New Testament. And then they sit down and break bread, and he says the blessing, it's the sacrament of the Eucharist. And that's when they recognize him. And Velázquez paints that recognition moment. It's a very, very dramatic painting. Impossible to find in the Met in a back corner. I had just studied it 2 weeks earlier because it's part of a tour that Evelyn and I do at the Met now about spirituality. But in any case, I said, Mike, you ran into, in the book, I call him Rich, actually. But I said, Rich, you ran into, like, the only person in New York could tell you about this painting. It was really odd. It's about the reason you left the church 40 years ago. The Mass wasn't made up. The early Christian community built it around this story that Christ himself gave it to you.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's thinking about this. And by now, he's already missed his plane, by the way. And I say, well, Mike, there's something wrong here. And he says to me, I say, what's wrong? He goes, I'm dying. 3 forms of cancer. I'm actually in New York cleaning up my estate.
Wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, this is too wild. You know, how did this happen?
Right.
And now, if I don't, I said, Mike, you understand. I mean, the Lord is reaching out to you here to get you back to the church and receive the sacrament of confession. I mean,
beautiful.
And, I start talking. I said, Mike, do you know what hell is? He says, no, I really thought about it. I said, well, it's whatever you've been looking for your whole life here on earth. So you're about to get an eternity without God. I mean, how's that working for you? So it goes on and on. And eventually this missionary gets Mike into the church. And it was a turning point for Mike, I hope. I pray for him every day. I really don't know. In all these stories, none of us know where they end. You know, we don't have that privilege. We're just agents of the kingdom. We're not kings of the kingdom. But it was also a turning point for the missionaries. You know, like we said, wow, there might be a reason why we're here.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, if you weren't there, you know, he would just walk by. Well, I hear the music coming up. We're talking with Steve Auth and his book, The Missionary on Wall Street. Got to check it out. It's by Sophia Press. More on the other side of the break. So stay tuned, everybody.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet 3 men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Jesse Romero. You're listening to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
And welcome back to Hands-On Apologetics. We're chatting with author Steve Auth on the book, The Missionary of Wall Street. And right before the break, Steve was sharing with us a story of a gentleman that they encountered out in the streets of New York who I guess you could call it a divine setup, because it seems as if God had been already working in this person's life, and he's about to approach the end of his life, and at the same time he happens to come in contact with Steve and has some pretty profound things in common with him, and the end result is ultimately confession, reconciliation with the church. And so it's just brilliant, brilliant stuff. And it's something that we should keep in mind as apologists as well, that it's not us who, we were talking with Marcus Grotte and also Matt Swaim earlier this week, that it's not up to us to convert. That's God's business. He just chooses to, to use us unworthy instruments to kind of welcome them home. And that's what the beautiful thing about Steve's Auth work and The Missionary of Wall Street is all about. It's about putting yourself out and, being used by God to do the work. And Steve, I love the book because it's arranged almost like a private diary, where it's, journal entries like Tuesday of Holy Week and Spy Wednesday 2014. It's about your, these little conversations you have with people.
Yeah, that's actually how the book got started, Gary. I started early on, in fact, around the time of the discussion we just had, the story of Emmaus, that I began to say, wait a minute, there might be something here. So I started keeping notes and writing a little blog entry every morning from an anonymous person called a missionary, which was me. And it would just tell a story or two that had happened the night before, either with me or one of the other missionaries, as a way of keeping track of all these little miracles, if you want to call them that, but also of encouraging the missionaries. And gradually people would read the blogs and just show up and join our ranks, which continued to grow. And it was only over time that, people encouraged me, maybe this could be made into a book. One, just to collect them all, but as I prayed on the book and worked on it through a series of edits, it became more than just that, too, though. It became, as I said, a kind of field guide, because we try to organize it around how do you actually do this? Because as the years rolled on, we found more and more movements in the city coming to us, asking us, could you train us in how to be a street evangelist?
Right.
So we developed a training program. How do you go about doing that? A lot of that training, frankly, revolves around preparing your heart as much as preparing your mind. Because I always tell people, end of the day, love them in. Love, don't think. And, our other big thing is joy, which Pope Francis certainly on to, that joy and love are two of the great distinguishing characteristics of Catholics. And, our brand is probably a little tarnished on a lot of different levels. But joy and love is what built the early church, what distinguished the early Christians. And it really stands out on the streets of New York.
Yeah, I bet. And one of the things I love about your approach is that it's very simple. Like, for each entry, it's every conversation starts the same way with the question, are you Catholic? Then it's almost like it's not so much what you say, but it's almost like a counseling session. How they answer you, engage them in where they are.
Yeah. Yeah, and that might be a little Wall Street skill. You know, I lead a lot of people and with investment professionals who are many of them smarter than me. You really can't order them around. You know, you kind of ask questions and try to get a conversation going. And and that's what we do on the streets. You know, the image of this probably is the soapbox preachers in the subways. People, if they've been in New York, have seen them. You know, the Lord is coming, you know, world ending. They're sort of just yelling a diatribe out at the passing crowd, and they very rarely get anyone to interact with them. But if you're out there on the street corner humbly asking questions and giving people a chance to talk, my gosh, it's surprising how many people are willing to stop and talk if engaged in a loving way. So many of them, I think, are struggling spiritually, and the chance to touch someone loving that's willing to listen to them and maybe give them a little bit of help. And ultimately, of course, you know, what we're trying to do is get them back to the sacraments. You know, people talk about, you know, we don't need the priests, we don't need the sacraments, all this stuff, but the Lord gave us the sacrament of the Eucharist and the sacrament of confession for a reason. He knows our human weaknesses, and he knows how we have a tendency to get off track and gradually build up walls between us and him. And that's what happens to folks, I think, when they leave the church and they're trying to pursue their own relationship. And I always say that my comeback to that is, well, how is it going for you?
And
the answer is always not good, you know. So, yeah, if we can get them back, well, in some cases, if we can just get them thinking, we declare a certain level of victory. Because sometimes, you know, you've got to peel off several layers of armor to really penetrate. We have people come back 3 years later and say, listen, I turned you down on the confession ask 3 years ago, but I've been praying on this rosary you gave me, and I'd like to go now. Can I still go to confession? You know, but if we can get them to the Lord in a meeting with the Lord in the sacrament of confession, then he does his thing, you know, and it's usually very, very powerful. I mean, people come out of their first confession in 20, 30, 40 years, and they've been carrying something around big that we had a sense, but boy, the relief when they come out and realize they are not unforgivable, that in fact, they're still a beloved child of God. And they're crying, they're hugging us, thanking us for being on the street corner. It's enough to keep you going.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. When you're standing out on the street corner, do you ask everybody you see, or do you kind of get a feel for this is a person I need to talk to, or perhaps feel like, boy, I better not ask this person if they're Catholic?
You know, Gary, we initially... Yeah, followed that temptation, like try to edit who we talk to, if you will.
Yeah.
And it was so surprising to us as time developed that the most unsuspecting people that you'd never would have thought actually are ones that have an issue or actually are Catholic or former Catholics, that we pretty early on stopped doing that. And we ask everyone of all stripes and colors, shapes and sizes. And it's always remarkable to us of who responds to us.
Yeah.
And
I bet.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you approach somebody, you ask them if they're Catholic, you listen to them with love. Ultimately, like you said, it's to bring them to Christ and the sacraments. But you also mentioned that you give rosaries. So there's some other components to this as well, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, a lot of Catholics remember rosaries. And there's this wonderful story at the very beginning of the book. The book actually starts off with this sort of dramatic story on a dark alley in Chinatown. And this incredible encounter between this missionary and this ex-con packing a gun on a drug run. And the missionary is armed with three rosaries. And the rosary is the thing that turns the tide. It's so beautiful.
Yes.
And, you know, even fallen away Catholics remember the rosary. Sometimes they don't remember how to pray the rosary. So in that incident, you'll see the missionary out there in the fog on this alley with this ex-con praying the rosary together. It's really beautiful, but it really touches people, and it kind of brings Mary into their lives. And as I said, we've had people come back to us a few years later with a worn-out rosary that we'd given them, that they've been praying on, and that they're ready now for that next step, you know? So it engages Mary. They love it. And, of course, even non-Catholics will take a rosary, you know? So it kind of brings the whole crowd alive. It's a great thing. And the other one is the votive candle. This is another great way to bring people into the church, because even fallen away Catholics or non-Catholics, and this is a way we get a lot of even non-Catholics into the church, people love to light a candle in the church. They have warm memories of that, and there's a sense of peacefulness there that brings them in. And if we can't get them to confession initially on the street, we can at least get them in to light a candle. And then, you know, many of those folks that go in just to light a candle end up coming out an hour later having gone to confession. So,
wow.
And we have a crew in the back of the church that we, you know, our kind of final line. The book describes how we set up this sort of human net throughout the neighborhood, people with different skills sort of positioned at different stations, if you will. Right. But one of our last bulk works is always the gentle souls in the back of the church that, you know, help encourage people that they can sense need to go to confession, but are, you know, have found their way to the church, but are just can't make it the last step without some help.
Yeah, yeah. Now, was that there originally, or did you see the need for that later on?
The missionary in the back of the church position?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, we developed that probably a couple of years into it, where we just began to see how important that was, because out on the streets, you know, sometimes you can get someone all the way to saying, I definitely go into confession, and will march in directly on their own. Sometimes, you know, people need to be sort of walked in, and then others that are just struggling. And we realized if we had some folks in the back, that could help a lot. And it has to be that's a very difficult position. It's described in the book, but
yes,
that's proven to be one of our most effective stations in the entire chain.
Well, Steve, we got one more segment. Can you stay on for one more?
Sure, love to.
Awesome. Great. We're talking with Steve Auth and his book. It's an awesome book. Pick it up, Missionary of Wall Street by Sophia Press. We're on the other side of the break.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference, or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith, because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support, because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And we're chatting with Steve Auth and the Missionary Wall Street. Great book. And, you know, Steve, as I was reading the book, at first my expectation was, well, your expertise is in finance, so it makes sense that you would fit right in, you know, being so close to Wall Street at Old St. Pat's. But then I noticed, like you said in your story, that, of course, it's New York. And New York has a lot of people who come there, sightseers, vacations, all sorts of reasons. So it's funny, the Lord puts you in this situation, not just for New Yorkers, but for anybody. I mean, it could be from all over the world.
Yeah, it's another beautiful thing, Gary. You know, in some ways, New York is like the new Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem was the crossroads of Europe and Asia at the time. And, you know, you say, why did the Lord come there? You know, and it actually was a very important place logistically, if you will, from which the faith spread through the whole world. But New York's a little that way. I mean, we certainly engage a lot of folks from the parish, and I can assure you all of them now have been to confession. In front of them, you know, they walk up to us and they go, don't worry, Steve, I've been to confession. You know, that wasn't always the case when we started, but
beautiful. That's an accomplishment in and of itself.
It is, yeah. And yeah. It's been very beautiful, and it's been great for the parish as it's grown and become a hub, especially of the younger people in the city. They come from all over, which I was about to say that it's also a place that a lot of New Yorkers come to for shopping and dining. Okay. So it's a hub of the city in some ways. But of course, especially in Holy Week, I'd say, I mean, we do it four times a year, but Holy Week, I would guess around 25% of the people that we encounter come from all over the world, particularly a lot from Europe. And in fact, I'm going over to Ireland next week. I've got a board meeting out there, but I am going to be talking to some of the bishops out there and other friends in the community about taking this mission to Dublin as an example, because, you know, it's a great place for doing this kind of thing. A lot of ex-Catholics and good pedestrian traffic flow, which are the two things you need, I think. But yeah, it's been, you know, the sparks of the thing, maybe, we don't know, as I was saying earlier, we really don't know where all this leads, but sparks have bounced out of this mission to other parts of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, you know, God bless you and your work. That it's fantastic. I guess my question to you is, what is the biggest obstacle that would prevent Catholics from doing something like this in their own area? Is it the fear of the unknown?
I think the fear, as I, you know, recruit missionaries, and we've done a lot of that, and I think fear, it was certainly my biggest obstacle, and maybe I overread it into others, but I think for many, the fear is the largest one, that you'd be embarrassed, someone might recognize you, you know, you're going to get a cigar put out in your forehead, as I tell my wife early on, you know, and all those things do happen, by the way. But one thing I say to the missionaries is, have you ever answered a call from the Lord and later regretted doing so? And then another question would be, have you ever done something that you knew the Lord didn't want you to do and not regret it doing so?
Wonderful.
So it's just a matter of putting yourself in his hands and letting it happen. And a lot of times I sign the book for people, I write, Be Not Afraid. I think that's a key message and theme of the book. And yeah, this is probably one of the more dramatic and radical ways to evangelize. And not everyone will feel like they can do it, but I would say almost everyone can do it, I'd say. But in addition, I'd say that there's a lot in this story that I think will at least inspire other Catholics to be a little braver about evangelizing in their own circles and maybe give them a few tools, practical tools of how you do that. You know, too often we're afraid to bring up topics of faith anymore.
Yeah.
And the culture doesn't want us to. So we're all hiding in our little holy huddles.
Right.
And as I say in the book, that probably will get us to heaven, but it doesn't bring a lot of folks with us. And we were set up, and we still say it every Sunday, you know, one true apostolic faith. This faith was set up initially as a form of evangelization, and it still is. And we all are part of that, not just the priests.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. And one thing I really appreciate in your book, although it goes against my grain, and this tells me that I'm not cut out for this work, is that you will approach someone and they'll start an argument. And like with me, I'd have to fight that with every fiber of my being,
yeah,
not to enter into apologetic dialogue, right?
Right.
But you hone in on like an Exocet missile. You go past all that to find out, okay,
yeah,
what is the real problem here? What is the real objection?
Yeah, and Gary, you know, I always tell the missionaries, do not engage, you know. What we're trying to do in some cases is stall for time and look for a soft spot. But you're not going to win an encounter like that with an atheist on the basis of, you know, punching and counterpunching.
Right.
It's not going to happen. And they're going to leave thinking, there's another example of these arrogant Catholics who think they have all the answers, and they don't even hear you as you're trying to lay out your case.
Yeah.
So I want them to come away saying, wow, those Catholics are different. They're loving and joyful. Maybe I should give them another chance, or maybe I should think more about that, or maybe I should read more about that. So with the atheists in particular, yeah, it would be wonderful and a high-five moment if we could turn one of them in one encounter from believing that there is no God to believing that there is one and going into church and receiving the sacrament of confession if they maybe were Catholics at one time. But that's a tall order.
Right.
There, we're just trying to peel a layer of armor off and open their eyes to something that's very beautiful and get them thinking, like, why are those people so joyful and why am I not? Because, by the way, I shouldn't generalize, but a lot of the folks that we run into who proclaim very violently that they're atheists,
mm-hmm,
often seem to be, to me, the least happy and joyful people we meet.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I've noticed that how with your different encounters in your book, you appeal to the joy of the Lord, and basically in a non-confrontative way, like you said earlier, how's that working out for you?
Yeah.
And it gets them to start thinking, you know, gee, I seem to be doing the same thing and it's not working. Maybe something's,
yeah,
wrong. Yeah, that's beautiful. So what is the most difficult encounter that you run into on the streets?
I think, Gary, the most difficult are the folks that feel they have an unforgivable sin, and have done something that they know in their conscience is deeply wrong and think they can't bring it to the Lord. You know, they're hiding from him.
Yeah.
And that's effectively why they left the church, maybe, or it started their decline or something in there. And trying to convince them that that's not the case, again, we try to love them in at that point. And, you know, I have this little prayer card that we make up here, laminates of the prodigal son The Return of the Prodigal Son by Rembrandt. It's a great image if anyone. There's actually two of those, two different versions, but they're both very good. If you want to look them up, they don't familiar. But and on the back of it, I let people know. I said, listen, think about this. If you think about going back to confession differently, you're in persona Christi. The priest is in persona Christi. You're talking to God. He already knows everything you've done. And do you think your sin is bigger than his mercy? He created everything. He knows what you've done. And go back to the story. We have it on the back where the son has done something that he believes is unforgivable. And he's going over in his mind three different ways of kind of confessing and seeking his father's forgiveness. And the father doesn't even give him a chance to say any of it. As soon as he sees him over the top of the hill, he knows why he's coming back, which is all the Lord wants. He already knows everything we've done. He just wants us to come back and show contrition and say we're sorry. And when people think about it that way, it turns their head about the possibilities. And as I said, you know, a few segments ago, when one of those souls comes back out, it is so dramatic and so beautiful to see. Yes. You know, you realize you are doing the Lord's work here. Okay, you're not the one confessing him or her, and you're not the one forgiving them, but you're part of it. And just being part of it is a real grace, a real treasure.
Wow. Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, Steve Otha, your book is The Missionary of Wall Street, put out by Sophia Institute Press. Do you have a website where people could go that might be interested in being a street evangelist?
Yeah, they can go to the Regnum Christi website. I think there's a link for that on the Sophia Institute Press website. Regnum, if they just Google Regnum Christi, they'll find their way into the Regnum Christi website, and they'll find a link to how to be a missionary. And again, or if you go into the Sophia Institute website, you'll see a link, how to be a missionary, and that'll lead you into a contact with us.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. You've been an example to follow, that for sure.
A cracked rock, Gary, but still out there fighting for the Lord.
Well, it's better to be a cracked rock than a blockhead like me, so I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thank you. God bless.
You too. And Steve Oth, check out the book, Missionary Wall Street. Great stuff. And, maybe the Lord's calling you to get it, step out of your comfort zone. Ask some people, are you a Catholic? Have you been to confession? Do you want to know where there is confession? Great stuff. And talk about great stuff. The fun continues here at the dojo. Coming up tomorrow, Master Apologist William Albrecht is going to come on. We're going to talk about the Quran and the New Testament. Which one gives an accurate picture of Jesus? It's going to be fascinating. And also Brian Mercer coming on Friday to talk about Mormonism. So lots of very cool information coming at you. And speaking of cool stuff, the Terry and Jesse Show is coming up next. And it's time for me to shut down the Midwest Command Center, turn off the dojo lights. Well, I tell you, it's the fastest hour of Catholic talk radio. Thank you for joining us. And God willing, I'll see you tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.
In the 1990s, I lived and worked in Hollywood. But when my wife Betty's mom took ill, we relocated to Orange County. And it was during this time in our lives that I converted to Catholicism. Once my eyes were opened to the truth, I couldn't learn enough about the faith. But I had less free time than ever, especially with a long commute. That's when I discovered the real value of Catholic audio. Listening to cassette tapes transformed my daily commute into a miniature retreat. And that's the beauty of Virgin Most Powerful Radio today. Since the podcasts are archived, you can listen anytime on our smartphone app. I know how listening to Catholic audio can bring you closer to Christ and His Church. So I encourage you to visit the App Store or go to vmpr.org and download the app today. It just might change your life. I'm Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.